Good evening, truth seekers. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. Wow, that's how I feel. How about you? Welcome to the program. This is the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy. Oi, oi, oi. This is really getting out of hand. Before I heard Al Gore's statement today about the United States is... blocking the negotiations in Bali on a new global climate treaty, which is absolutely true. I mean, the statement is just absolutely true. Under the Bush crime family, every single effort by the global community to understand global climate change, to control emissions, every single move here at home, globally, has been blocked by the Bush crime family. Al Gore stated, you know, it was one of those water is wet moments when he made the statement. And the applause that came afterwards, I think, came from an audience that was just so relieved to finally hear somebody from the United States tell the truth. That's all it was. It was a release. Oh, my God, they still have people there in the U.S. who can tell the truth. Important people who can tell the truth. It was astonishing. Before I heard what Al Gore said, I got in the car. I was going someplace. And Kathy does this to me all the time. She leaves the radio on the AM dial on WSB here in Atlanta because she listens to these right-wing talk show hosts to see what they're talking about. Well, I got in during the pickup during Neil Bortz's program here in Atlanta. Now, Neil Bortz is a total psychopath. I mean, he is... He's Rush Limbaugh without the money. He's Sean Hannity without the youth. He's Michael Savage without the restraint that Savage. He's just out of his mind. He's out of his mind. So there he goes. There goes Neil Bortz this morning. And I didn't know what he was referencing. He said the reason Al Gore made his statement was because, now this is Bortz talking, was because if Al Gore's wrong on global climate change, which he is, that means Al Gore loses his identity. Bortz was trying to say, in other words, that Al Gore's winning of the Nobel Peace Prize, Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, all of it, everything about environmentalism that has come to a head in our generation about how we're pretty much nailed to the wall right now, all of that, according to Neil Bortz, is only to give Al Gore an identity. Now, I've been saying this for probably 10 years. Why does the United States of America, over the airwaves, with very few exceptions, have to be blanketed 24/7 with this psychotic babbling of these right-wingers? Why is that? What is it in the broadcast industry? What is it at ABC? What is it at a Clear Channel? What is it at Cox Communications? What is it at Jones Radio Network? What is it at all these syndicators, CBS Radio? What the hell is wrong with these people that they have made a decision to blanket this country with the psychosis of five or six raving lunatics like Hannity and Limbaugh and Bortz and Savage and this vomitous Hugh Hewitt and the rest of these people? What? Why is that happening? Why is that happening? I don't have an answer. It's a purely rhetorical question. But it is going to kill us. It's killing this country. It's going to kill the planet. It's mind-boggling to see what the broadcast industry considers the fulfillment of its responsibility, where it concerns its broadcast license to present something for the public good. They don't. There are very few examples, very few programs. What, 8 programs? Maybe 9? That are on that you can hear, if you've got Sirius, if you've got XM, if you happen to be near one of the stations across the country, how many are there? 20? 30? That carry progressive or liberal or left or democratic or sensible or environmental programming? How many stations are there? For Christ's sake, there are 7,000 radio stations in this country. How many carry the truth? Or even a balance to this raving insanity of these just absolute destroyers on the right. This is driving me mad. I listen to these mentally deranged pigs. I don't listen anymore, but how anything that has any sense, whether it is a single-payer health care or warnings that we're heading towards an global environmental disaster or that the country's moving to fascism, any of this stuff. These psychopathic bastards devote just hours and hours and hours of programming to screwing up everybody's mind in this country to the point where look at us now. Look at us. We've got people running for president who are trying to out-Jesus each other. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in global warming. I don't believe in any of this. What the hell has happened? And then Al Gore's statement today. So after I heard Bortz, and I realized that once again, you know, Bortz is like an AIDS-encrusted needle full of smack. Every time you listen to him, you're risking your life. I swear to Christ, you're risking your life, your family's life. This man is totally, totally insane. All of them are. Oh, they're functionally insane. I'm not saying they're gibbering idiots that belong in rubber bungalows. To the contrary. They present themselves as rational human beings. So I listened to him, and I thought, okay, Jesus, what's he talking about? Well, I switched over, got the hell off of WSB, and switched over to Sirius Satellite Radio, CNN, and heard what he was talking about. Al Gore's utterly, absolutely, incredibly truthful statement. He said, I'm going to speak an inconvenient truth. My own country, the United States, is principally responsible for obstructing progress in Bali. Now, do you know what Wolf Blitzer said this afternoon when he had his panel of, I don't know who it was, who he had on. He had, what's his name, his sidekick. He had Jeffrey Toobin. He had Gloria Borger. And Wolf Blitzer asked his panel to talk to the issue. Here's how Wolf presented it. He said, Al Gore today in Bali said the United States is primarily responsible for global warming. Son of a bitch, that's not what he said. And now Jeffrey Toobin immediately said, what's wrong with what he said, Wolf? And then Wolf says, what about India? What about China? And Toobin says, well, of course, he's mentioned them too. But you see what happened there. If you hadn't heard, oh, God, if you hadn't heard any of this, if you'd been listening to these right-wing monsters on radio all day long talking about Al Gore blames the United States for global warming, which is not what he said. Jesus, God in heaven, it's not what he said. But there goes Wolf Blitzer. You expect it from these psychopaths like Hannity and Bortz and Limbaugh and these utter right-wing destroyers. You expect it. If any of them ever spoke the truth or spoke rationally about these problems, the goddamn planet would open up. There would just be a crack and the whole globe would split into a million pieces from the stress of one of these people ever telling the truth. But for the literally millions of people who have been sucked into listening to this right-wing crap and drivel all day long, and then you hear Wolf Blitzer say, Al Gore today blamed global warming on the United States. Oh, God help us.
Be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
Two past the hour. The defining issue of this time in our history, I mean human history, U.S. political history, and somebody's history, is going to be how we respond to this very serious event that has been building since the Industrial Revolution. And is reaching, or has reached, a point of no return. I don't care how many of these right wing thugs on radio or television deny this. Oh, and by the way, the Nazi Pope now is siding with Limbaugh and Hannity and Bortz. I'll have that for you in a second. But the defining issue, if there's anybody to look back on the mistakes made 50 years hence, looking back to the first decade or two of this century, if there's anyone left on this planet who's not involved at the time in absolute, utter baseline survival, and they have the luxury of looking back and commenting on or being quizzical about or sitting around discussing what we did back here at the beginning of the century, what we didn't do, the defining issue is not going to be whether or not we invaded Iraq. It's not going to be whether or not we made friends with the North Koreans. It's not going to be about whether or not there was a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian issue. No, you know what it's going to be about. The question that's going to be asked is, why didn't they do something when you have 2,000 scientists from around the planet feeding information to the UN-based, what is it, IPPC? I'd probably get the number of letters wrong. It doesn't matter at this point. When you have 2,000 scientists who are on the same page, when you have had 20 years of checking ice cores that go down 4 miles, when it becomes obvious that something horrendous is occurring that has to do with global climate change, and yet people are willing to listen to the Nazi Pope or Neil Bortz or Sean Hannity or these right-wingers or Bush or somebody that nothing is happening. Go back to sleep, you dumb bastards. Go back to sleep. No. Go to Walmart. Argue with me about whether or not they've taken Christ out of Christmas. Let's talk about, I don't know, sweatshops in China. If there are enough people left to do a discussion 50 years from now, I think that's going to be the key issue. What was wrong with the human race at the turn of the 21st century that with all the evidence mountains of evidence, scientific evidence, just blasting them in the face, even with the direct intervention of something called the Bush crime family that tried to suppress the evidence from 300 million of the world's most prominent polluters. Even beyond that, why didn't they do something? This is mind-boggling to me. This is the issue that just tears me into pieces. Just mountains of evidence of global climate change that is going to have a profound negative effect on not just human life on this planet, but all sorts of different species of animal and plant life. It's here. For Christ's sake, it's here. What does the Pope say today? in comments prepared for a World Peace Day. Oh, make me vomit blood, you Nazi bastard. On World Peace Day on January 1st, these remarks will be in his annual message. However, the ones I'm going to share with you in a minute were released today because delegates from all over the world are convening on the Indonesian island of Bali for talks, UN-sponsored talks, on climate change. So this filthy, murderous Pope, this former Nazi, makes several statements today that are just outrageous where it concerns global climate change. And the right wing in this country just crapping in their pants about Al Gore's absolutely truthful statement that the United States, his country, my country, your country, is principally responsible for obstructing progress in Bali. Oh my God, stay with us.
Money again on research to help find breakthroughs for battery technologies that will enable you to drive a plug-in hybrid battery.
This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end. No,
25 before the hour, the Times of London, I know, it's owned by Rupert Murdoch. Simon Caldwell, writing for the Times of London, wrote the following. Pope Benedict XVI has launched a surprise attack on climate change prophets of doom, warning them that any solutions to global warming must be based on firm evidence and not on dubious ideology. The leader of more than a billion Roman Catholics suggested that fears over man-made emissions melting the ice caps and causing a wave of unprecedented disasters were nothing more than scaremongering. The German-born pontiff said that while some concerns may be valid, it was vital that the international community based its policies on science rather than the dogma of the environmentalist movement. His remarks will be made in his annual message for World...
Been quiet all the while.
His remarks will be made in his annual message for World Peace Day on January 1, but they were released as delegates from all over the world convened on the Indonesian holiday island of Bali for UN climate change talks. The 80-year-old Pope said the world needed to care for the environment, but not to the point where the welfare of animals and plants was given a greater priority than that of mankind. And it goes on. Now, before I go completely nuts on this, Simon Caldwell, I don't know who he is from Adam's House Cat. The Times of London, I've quoted many times on this program. I understand it's owned by Rupert Murdoch. And Murdoch is as bad as anyone can be. I mean, Murdoch is Murdoch. Now, apparently, there is a counter statement floating around the web that says the statement by the Pope is not true. Now I'm getting to the point where it's how about you? It's just making me insane. What's new? What isn't new? I'm sorry. What's true? What isn't true? The story on the Pope's denial being debunked comes from scienceblogs.com. And what it says is the story was linked by Drudge and all the other global climate change denialists. But the Pope's actual statement is online, and you can see that Caldwell is lying about it. And then there's a link here to what the Pope really said. And, you know, I've been trying to understand, trying to get it through my head, who is a liar and who isn't. This is making me insane. Isn't it you? Here's some quotes according to Simon Caldwell. It is important for assessments in this regard, global climate change, to be carried out prudently, in dialogue with experts and people of wisdom, uninhibited by ideological pressure, to draw hasty conclusions, and above all with the aim of reaching agreement on a model of sustainable development capable of ensuring the well-being of all while respecting environmental balances. Prudence does not mean failing to accept responsibilities and postponing decisions. It means being committed to making joint decisions after pondering responsibly the road to be taken. I don't know. I can't get my mind around this. In the spring, the Vatican hosted a conference on climate change that was welcomed by environmentalists. But according to the Times of London, senior cardinals close to the Vatican have since expressed doubts about a movement which has been likened by critics to be just as dogmatic in its assumptions as any religion. Now, that sounds like Simon Caldwell. That sounds like Rush Limbaugh or Neil Bortz. In October, the Australian Cardinal George Pell, the Archbishop of Sydney, caused an outcry when he noted that the atmospheric temperature of Mars had risen by 0.5 degrees Celsius. He said in a criticism of Australian scientists who had claimed that carbon emissions would force temperatures on Earth to rise by almost 5 degrees by 2070 unless drastic solutions were enforced, Archbishop of Sydney said, quote, "The industrial military complex up on Mars can't be blamed for that," end quote. What the hell? I don't know anymore. Do any of you folks? Do you want to weigh on this right now? Please. The number is 800-989-1480. Because if I keep talking, I'm going to go insane, or I really am going to say something that will cost me my job. I swear to God. As a result of what Gore fessed up to today, and have you got that ready, Kathy? Huh? Okay, let's listen to what Al Gore had to say today.
I am going to speak an inconvenient truth. My own country, the United States, is principally responsible for obstructing progress here in Bali. We all know that.
Yeah. Is principally responsible for obstructing progress here in Bali, which is true. Now, if you listen to the pigs, these liars, these Nazis that blanket American talk radio, you can't get away from these sons of bitches. And to all the networks who carry them, I don't care who the network is. I don't care if you carry this program. You people who are putting this, keeping these people on, keeping this right-wing lying trash on the air 24/7. God damn you! You are absolutely in violation of your agreement when you got your license to broadcast, to use the public. These are public airwaves, you bastards. They don't belong to you. They don't belong to Clear Channel. They don't belong to Murdoch. They don't belong to Cox. They don't belong to CBS. They belong to the people, for Christ's sake. And we are faced with a serious situation. And what do we hear all day long without let up? Al Gore's sick. Al Gore's that son of a bitch. Oh, forget Al Gore. Party on. There's no global warming. Who in this country listens to the 2,000 scientists who put together the report for the UN, which resulted in their sharing in the Nobel Peace Prize with Al Gore? Who in this country listens to scientists anymore? Huh? Oh, I know you do, but and so do I. But the vast majority of people still believe in talking snakes in the Garden of Eden. And heaven and hell, and that there is no such thing as evolution. It's just astonishing. It's heartbreaking. Who in this country listens to the 16 or 17 U.S. intelligence agencies who put together this NIE that said, hey, psst, there is no nuclear weapons program in Iran for the past 4 years? Who listens to that? On the other hand, who listens to the pigs on right-wing talk radio and these filthy network owners who put them out there? Who say all day long, without let up, the intelligence reports are wrong. Of course they have nuclear bombs. Of course they're working towards them. Of course there's no global warming. I'm so sick of it. Day in and day out. Ooh, but out of those 7,000 or 8,000 radio stations, ooh, well, there's 35, or is it 38 now, or is it 30? They carry some, ooh, liberal programming, ooh. It's just an incredible shame that we are where we are. Just unbelievable. And think of those right-wing stations and their programming and the filthy pigs who talked us into supporting this war, who talk us into not supporting universal health care. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Damn them!
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
Ten before the hour, let's go to your phone calls. Starting with, Anthony, who is calling from Sweden, listening on the Internet. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Anthony.
Talking about the right-wingers who deny what Al Gore is talking about, I was reading an article on Media Matters today that almost made my jaw drop. This filthy, Nazi, subhuman, son of a bitch, Michael Savage, pretty much attacked the people of Norway today or yesterday on his radio show.
For and, what?
I got the quote up on the Media Matters here. I'll read it here.
Okay.
The Gore crime family is now the number one crime family in the world. I think he's stealing your shtick.
They're about to
pull out the biggest scam in the history of the world, and he's doing it all nice and natural with a little help from the socialist perverts in Norway who gave him a Nobel Prize. Why do I call them socialist perverts? Because they are. By and large, 90% of the people on the Nobel Committee are into child pornography and molestation, according to the latest scientific studies.
Oh, my God.
What studies? Jesus, he doesn't even mention any studies. He just talks trash straight out.
Michael Savage belongs locked up someplace. He really does, in a deep hole where it just left alone to wallow in his own excrement. This guy is just so over the top. I think he's enraged because he doesn't get the publicity that Hannity and the pig man get. So he says stuff like that, but he is a certifiable psychopath and really does belong in a deep dark hole with a 30 inch thick lead top to it, where he's just left until he suffocates. Don't be offended by something a subhuman says. No, I mean, of course you're offended. So am I.
I do my best. I do my best not to be offended.
But I know. And I'm the last one to say to someone, don't be offended. I'm enraged by this stuff, Anthony.
Same here. I mean, this is serious. And why is Michael Savage saying that global warming isn't real? By default. If Al Gore says it, that means it's not true. If Al Gore said that humans need to breathe through the mouth and through the nose in order to just live, would Michael Savage stop breathing? That's an interesting question.
Say that part again, Anthony.
Yeah, if Al Gore said that humans need to breathe through the mouth and the nose in order to live, would Michael Savage stop breathing because Al Gore said so?
One can hope.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony, I got to go. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care, okay? All right. Appreciate it. Dave is calling in San Bernardino, California. Dave, welcome to the program. Hey,
hi,
Dave.
Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? You're talking about Al Gore, and, you know, the saddest thing about this whole situation is with the Clinton-Gore administration, you know, they had projected that our national debt would be paid off in 2007 to 2008, approximately.
Yeah,
you know, the way things are going, and they turned the economy around and what have you. You know, well, look where we're at now. $10 trillion in debt. And the sad part about it is this debt, these bonds have to be paid. This ain't like I borrowed $10 from you and stiffed you for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
This got to be paid, brother.
I hear you, Dave.
You know, we've gone from the richest nation on earth from a $360 billion surplus in 1 year. That's a lot of coin.
Yeah, it is.
To the poorest, most indebted nation on earth due to these scum-sucking Republicans.
It's just awful. And yet the country, Dave, and you know this, it's blanketed all day long, all night long with this right-wing drivel to make it even worse and worse and worse. And I swear to God, I do not get what these radio networks are really trying to do. I don't understand it. All these stations and syndicators, or not syndicators, but the stations and the networks that hold all these broadcast licenses and are consciously and deliberately poisoning everything in this country, political discourse. They're assisting in poisoning the atmosphere, the water, the air, all of our minds, our abilities to hold a rational discussion with each other. What the hell is their goal? What is Clear Channel trying to do? Are they trying to just rip the country to pieces? What is CBS trying to do? What is Cox Communications trying to do? What is Murdoch trying to do? What is ABC trying to do? What the hell is the name of this game, Dave?
Well, if you go back to Pappy Bush / Reagan, of course, Reagan really turned out to be Bush's puppet, as it turned out. But this thing with the New World Order,
But if the New World Order is utter destruction, what's the point?
That's it. That's it, Mike. The ultimate game with these people is to bankrupt the United States so they do not have to pay these entitlements.
Oh, God.
If you look at the tax break after tax break after tax break for the rich, the ultimate goal is for the rich to pay no taxes.
Well, they're almost there.
That's the game. That's what this is all about.
Well, that explains their sick, psychotic point of view about money, but the rest of it, about environmental protection, about mental safety in this country, about physical health, about nutrition, about children having an education. I don't know, Dave. I hate these sons of bitches with a passion I didn't know I still had. Hey, I got to leave it there, pal. Thank you, all right?
Take care, Mike.
All right, you too. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. This is Nova M Radio Network, the only network in America that's not trying to poison your mind. Welcome back. It's 6:30 past the hour. Okay, yeah. So I got a little crazy there. I certainly mean everything I say. In response to the fact that the United States is under George W. Bush is doing everything it can to stop any kind of addressing of global climate change. Except maybe to pray about it. I don't even know anymore. But in response to that, the European Union is threatening to boycott a Bush crime family-sponsored climate talks next month. Can you imagine? That's like the Bush crime family's Middle East peace conference last month, or a couple of weeks ago, right? Wasn't that a wonderful success, huh? Let's see, what has happened since the peace conference? Oh, well, the Israelis and the Palestinians are on the verge of war again. Ooh. So now the Bush crime family is going to have climate talks next month? Oh, please. See, none of these right-wing pigs on radio will give you the second or some more of Al Gore's statement when he said, after he said that the United States was principally responsible for blocking progress in Bali. which is true. Oh, my God. Somebody tell me what is factually incorrect about that. Yeah. He also said, quote, you can do one of two things here. You can feel anger and frustration and directed at the United States of America, or you can make a second choice. You can decide to move forward and do all of the difficult work that needs to be done. End quote. It's pretty astonishing. The Bush crime family has invited 16 major economies, not countries, economies, including European countries, Japan, China, and India, to discuss a program of what are expected to be nationally determined. Each country gets to decide on its own. Voluntary cutbacks in greenhouse gas emissions. You know, the insanity of the Bush crime family, or a Michael Wiener Savage, or a Limbaugh, or a Hannity, why does it have to infect the rest of us? Voluntary cutbacks, huh? As the coal industry in the United States has worked diligently to put in scrubbers in their smokestacks, you know, voluntary cutbacks on sulfur emissions that contribute to acid rain. Yeah, they've really done that, haven't they? Oil refineries have spent, oh, Lord have mercy, tons and tons of money to clean up their polluting of the atmosphere, their polluting of the groundwater and the earth, to the extent that they have prevailed upon the Environmental Protection Agency to no longer publish the numbers to show how much they have dumped into what we breathe, walk on, and drink. Oh! So the Bush crime family is inviting 16 other economies to come to the United States and do what we do here. Lie, cheat, steal the very life force out of our population and the planet, and pretend like we're doing something voluntary. Voluntary cutbacks in greenhouse gas emissions. The European Union warns it will stay away from that ridiculous, dumbass convocation unless the Bush crime family drops its opposition to mandatory cuts in the release of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. It's astonishing. The United States is the world's leading dumper of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. We are the only major industrial country that did not ratify the Kyoto Protocol. And, you know, don't talk to me about China and India and Slobovia and Berserkistan and all these other countries. You know, talk to me about leadership. Talk to me about the United States setting an example. We're setting an example, aren't we? The Bush crime family is definitely setting an example. Well, the European Union says, nah, we're not going to participate in one of George Bush's little toy events. Screw it. I'm going to speak an inconvenient truth. My own country, the United States, is principally responsible for obstructing progress in Bali. And the way the Reuters posts it, reports it. It goes on, arriving fresh from Oslo, where he had collected the Nobel Peace Prize, Gore urged governments to forge a, quote, new path, end quote, toward a global climate change agreement, in spite of what he described as an obstructive United States. Now, listen to this. They give another quote, quote, I don't know how you can navigate around this enormous elephant in the room, which I've been undiplomatic enough to name, but I'm asking you to do it, end quote. He said, get this. Gore was defeated by President George W. Bush in the 2000 presidential race. That's how the Reuters news agency reports it. Gore was defeated. He was not defeated. Son of a bitch. It just never stops, does it? It never stops. Wolf Blitzer goes on CNN today and says, well, what do you all think of Al Gore saying the United States is the principal cause of the refusal to address global warming or whatever the hell he said? And the quote, I mean, CNN played what Al Gore said. A matter of fact, right after Blitzer said that, they played the quote we just played for you. He said nothing of the sort. He said, we are the chief obstruction to any progress being made in Bali. Back to your phone calls. Let me see here. Robert is calling from Los Angeles, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Mike. I understand your frustration because I share your frustration. I really enjoy your passion. I of all the hosts, I'd say that you and Tom Hartman are the only two who are really worth listening to.
There's a lot of fans of these other liberals who would disagree with you vehemently, but thank you for the comment.
Well, the thing is, you don't keep repeating yourself, and you're very well informed.
Okay. Well, thanks for all that. Now, you really called about.
Well, the thing I wanted to say is none of this is new.
Yeah.
This has been discussed since the 70s. And the big problem, global warming is just a symptom of another problem. That's an effect. The cause is the way people view their place in this world.
That's true, yeah.
And I don't want to get really abstract, but that's you have to change people's thinking. And Benjamin Franklin said that if you would persuade, appeal to one's interest, not intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the right does. They appeal to people's interest or what they think is their interest, but indeed it's not their interest. And in the long run, it's not even in the interest of the far right.
That's true.
And that's what's so insidious.
Yeah. Hey, hold on just a second. All right, Robert,
yeah.
just stay right there because I got to do a break. And we'll come back and talk some more about this. As Robert says, this has been going on for a long time. It has. Remember back in, I guess you could arguably say that the popularization of the environmental movement started in the 70s, Earth Day and anti-nuke stuff. And ever since its birth, the right wing has tried to kill it, you know, with phrases like tree hugger, environmental wacko, you know, stuff like that. Well, as Robert points out, our survival here is. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy.
It's a hard rain is gonna fall.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Molloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. We're talking with. Let me see here. We're talking with. Hold on just a second. I've got it. Here it comes. Robert in Los Angeles. Robert, thanks for holding on.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Or you're welcome. One of the things I wanted to bring up in regards to the environment, global warming, and so on, was a discussion that I heard earlier in the week between the aforementioned Tom Hartman and I forget what this guy was from, but he brought up the issue of theology.
right.
and economics in regards to the environment. He was making he was defending the status quo. The problem is that economics is not modeled on the environment. It's
right.
not modeled on the laws of physics. Airplane design is modeled on the laws of physics. If you didn't, then mm-hmm. you wouldn't be able to get the plane off the ground or land it.
Right.
The other problem is that theology, and this kind of blows my mind, when people talk about the Bible and creation and so on, if God created the earth, did he create it for us to destroy or for us to use? As we're linked in a chain of life, right? One generation to the next. It's not our earth. We're just here to use it and hopefully not abuse it, take care of it, and pass it on to the next generation mm-hmm. so that they have the opportunity to enjoy it. I don't understand how, on the one hand, people can say, well, God created the earth and it's here for us to use, but they don't take care of it. Isn't that sort of disrespectful and selfish and self-centered?
Well, it is. I think what you're doing, and it's fairly dangerous, Robert, because it'll make you crazy. You're trying to apply logic to a movement based solely on superstition.
That's true.
If I were a Christian fundamentalist answering you right now, I would say, but Robert, what you don't understand is this is all part of God's plan. Robert, what you don't understand, yes, God created the earth and said that humans were to be stewards of it, but God has a divine plan, and part of that plan is fulfilling itself even as we speak. If God wants the earth to be destroyed, he's doing it this way. There is nothing that happens, Robert, that is not part of God's plan. So, you see, there's no way out. You can't apply even 5-year-old logic to someone who is arguing religious dogma or religious superstition or some theological nonsense. It can't be done because the fallback position for religionists is always the same, and that is, well, Robert, you don't understand God's plan. Robert, you don't. God doesn't have to check with you, Robert, every time he decides to do something. Robert, you just don't understand God's plan. Now, that's the scam that has been worked on the human race for the past 2,000 years where it concerns Christianists. That's what they use. This is what the Catholic Church has used since the Catholic Church became the Catholic Church.
Right.
This is what every religion uses. You don't understand. You're just a little human being. Step out of the way, sir. God is working his plan. Well, why did God kill my 3 children in a car wreck? You don't understand. That's part of God's plan. This is insanity, and that's, you know...
That's very self-serving. It allows people to say, why did God do this when the way I was raised, we have free will. And my view is, if there is a God, God got the thing rolling and then stood back and things just happen the way they happen.
But But since this Christian or Muslim or Jewish God is
right.
all-knowing and omniscient, then he may be rolling some dice down the alley that is your life. But the ultimate truth is that God is omniscient. God knows everything. God knows the beginning, the middle, the end. He made the beginning. He makes the middle. He'll make the end. And if you are going to waste your life trying to figure out God's enormous infinite mind, then you are going to go insane, grasshopper.
Oh, well, I don't try to do that, actually.
Right. Well, but of course
not. No, I understand the point you're making.
Because that would be like trying to figure out, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Wasn't that a great theological discussion about 300 years ago? I mean, it's madness. It's madness. And what one has to be careful of is applying any sort of logic to any sort of religion or theological position. It can't be done.
That's true.
It just can't be done.
Definitely true.
All right, Robert, I have to leave there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Thanks a lot. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
take a cab home, Jesus. Shit, man, we can hoof it from here. I know you can walk on the water, but can you walk on this much beer? Let me ask you, are you drinking with me, Jesus? I can't see you very clear. Are you drinking with me, Jesus? Won't you buy a brand of beer? Everybody now, are you drinking with me, Jesus? I can't see you very clear. Are you drinking with me, Jesus? Won't you?
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 26 before the hour. I don't know if the right-wing pigs on radio or television explained why Al Gore said what he said. His remarks about... my country is obstructing any kind of success here at Bally, and of course I'm paraphrasing now. But did they go on to say why Al Gore said that? He said, "My own country, the United States, is principally responsible for obstructing progress in Bali." Where did that come from? Did Michael Savage, in his obscene insanity, explain? Did Limbaugh, in his drug-addled state, did Hannity, in his little parrot life of his, did they tell you what happened? Why Al Gore said that? Here's why Al Gore said that. With one day left of these two-week-long talks between representatives of more than 180 countries, it looks increasingly likely that no agreement will be reached by all these foreign ministers. Now, this is recorded in, or this is reported in the what paper is this from the UK? The Guardian. This is from Friday's The Guardian. The U.S. was accused of trying to derail the agreement by proposing that it becomes a voluntary agreement where countries set their own targets and timetables for reduction of greenhouse gases. Oh, that'll happen, rather than a legally binding one. That's why Al Gore said this. Now, the proposed text tabled late last night by the United States, the proposed text written by the United States. Look, let's make this voluntary. By goddamn, you know, the oil companies and the gas and the coal companies, they'll do the right thing. That was the text. It was tabled last night, and it was leaked at about midnight, Bali time. It would allow any country to opt out of the next round of the Kyoto Agreement. Observers said last night that if the U.S. position is agreed to, it could take climate change negotiations back more than a decade. Keith Allitt, head of climate change at the nature charity World Wildlife Fund-UK, said, "These are wrecking tactics. The stakes are now very high, and they are proposing the U.S. are proposing to destroy the protocol completely. The Bush administration is trying to kill any real progress." John Salvin, director of Greenpeace UK, says this is an extraordinary attempt by the Bush administration to kill off the fight against climate change. If they get this through, then it will give a free pass to any nation that wants to keep on polluting. Why, of course. Now, the article here goes on to say the proposed U.S. text uses phrases such as appropriate, depending, may, in reference to emission cuts. It Now, the senior U.S. negotiator in Bali, somebody named James Connaughton, what do you want to bet? He's from ExxonMobil. He said, quote, "The U.S. will lead, and we will continue to lead. But leadership also requires others to fall in line and follow." Oh, my God. We will lead on what? What? So that's why Al Gore made his statement, because the so-called UN or U.S. negotiator, our boy in Bali, is trying to jam down the throats of everyone else this ridiculous Dick Cheney, ExxonMobil, George Bush nonsense that says, okay, global climate change, yup, yup, alrighty, now here's how we fight it. Let's everybody agree that we'll just decide ourselves whether or not, you know, we want to cut back on anything. Gore also said that the rest of the world should hold on. He says Gore counted 1 year and 40 days to the day the United States would have a new president to succeed Bush. He predicted that a successor who would do more to act on global warming seriously. He predicted that a successor would do more to act on global warming seriously. It's almost as though the rest of the world is being told, look, the United States is the anchor tied to your tail, and you can't move. You can't move because we currently, the number one polluter. What is it we keep reading? We provide 25% of the poison that goes into the atmosphere, and we're 7% of the population. I mean, doesn't that seem just a little bit... Doesn't it seem grounds enough for the rest of the world to say, you know, that rogue country has to be stopped, it has to be isolated? What if... I mean, we've gone to war over less than this. What if somebody said, well, Portugal is responsible for 25% of the child murders on Earth. We've got to do something. Would the United States step up and say, well, now hold on a second. You know, it's got to be violent. Or would Portugal say, okay, so we've got one-fourth of the world's child murders. We propose that every nation be allowed to decide when and if it's proper to commit child murder. I mean, if that were to happen, wouldn't all that be considered conversation among crazy people in an asylum? Yeah, I think it would. So when we have 180 nations, who is left out of that? Gathered together. What do you hear from the pig man? You hear nonsense about how much gasoline or diesel or jet fuel was used to get everybody there. Oh, yeah, that's an important issue. Let's focus on that. 180 nations represented at this meeting, trying desperately to do something that has never been done in the history of the human race, and that is to agree, look, we're facing a crisis, not because Germany's going to cross our border, not because the U.S. is going to drop an atom bomb on us, not because the U.S. and the Soviet Union have nukes aimed at each other, not because the Israelis and the Palestinians are about to commit a wholesale slaughter against each other. No! We are facing a crisis that takes the cooperation of every single nation on earth to avert, if it's still even possible to avert. What are they waiting for? What has to happen? Do we have to get to the year 2060? when hundreds of thousands, millions of people around the globe are starting to die because of global climate change, because of rising water level, because of changes in temperature, in growing patterns, of famines, in diseases migrating north or south or east or west because of all these changes? What has to happen? I know my voice is loud tonight. I'm sorry. I'm screaming. I'm out of my mind because I am so sick of it. I'm so sick of it. We're going to talk about instead whether or not Barack Obama smoked a joint when he was a teenager. It's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible. They allow Alan Keyes, a degenerate oddball from planet Gorp someplace, into the Republican presidential smackdown in Iowa the other day. Yeah. But when Al Gore, when 2,000 globally recognized scientists say, we have a problem, we have to do something, it's ignored. They are not supposed... But ignored by who? I'm sorry. Not ignored by the rest of the world. It's ignored in this country to the extent that most of the talk about Al Gore and his Nobel Prize or his movie is smarmy, condescending hate talk. Like Neil Bortz this morning, this sick son of a bitch, saying that the whole global warming issue now is Al Gore's baby, and Al Gore can't let it die because if it dies, it means Al Gore's a fraud. That's how Neil Bortz thinks. That's how Hannity thinks, because someone told him to. Hannity is a dumbass. That's how Savage and Limbaugh and apparently the Pope, that's how they think.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Yeah, I know. We said we were going to try to come up with a contest tonight to give away Impeach Bush cards from ImpeachBushCards.com. And these two stories, we haven't even gotten to the sports story yet. The baseball story, which just is an enormous heartbreaker, not to me something unexpected. I've said before on this program, I just gave up on professional sports a number of years ago. But what a horrible the report that was released today by former Senator who was it, George Mitchell? Was it Senator Mitchell, Kathy? I think. What a horrible story! I mean, it's just mind numbing. I do want to talk about that a little bit when we come back. But what we're going to do, I think, with the cards, the ImpeachBushCards.com, I've got a lot of these to give away, and I really want to give them away because these things are just so damn cool. It's just unbelievable. I've got a deck I'm looking at right now, even as we sit here. And again, like I said, they've advertised before on this program, whether I was with it Air America or here at Nova M. And of course, you know, I got to love them for that. But I think what we're going to do tomorrow night, we are going to give these away, but I think we're just going to do it on kind of a random basis. And I'm not sure what the basis will be yet, but it'll probably be highly unfair. and non-scientific. It's just going to be based on whimsical nonsense tomorrow night. So our associate producer and engineer in Phoenix, Ian, when we give him the signal tomorrow night, he will probably come back on the air or come back on the phone after you've been on this program and ask you for your name and address, which he will then email to us and we will send them out to you. So that's what we're going to do. Now, let's get back to the phone calls. Jan is calling from Iowa, listening on Sirius. Hey, Jan.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, me too.
Okay. Oh, is that Mike?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem, Jan.
Okay, I'm in Iowa here. First off, Oregon voluntarily instituted the Kyoto Protocol several years ago.
Uh-huh.
And their technical economy and the economy in general is going great guns, thank you. There hasn't been any great setbacks. And much to my shame, my own government, my prime minister, who is nothing if not George's butt boy, has gone along with things, saying and putting it forth that he'll refuse to sign anything that doesn't include the United States in setting forth concrete plans at Bali. In fact, our minister responsible for the environment didn't even show up to make a speech about turning the corner and instead put in some businesses to make speeches about sequestering carbon dioxide underground.
Yeah, there are very few. What did I read today that the so-called carbon sinks, S-I-N-K-S, trees, the ocean, the earth, that normally would absorb a certain percentage of our carbon emissions are no longer capable of doing that because...
It's saturated. That's why the coral reefs are dying.
Right. And so what they are doing now is releasing rather than absorbing carbon dioxide. And on top of that, well, predating that, a couple of nights ago, watching some late-night television on the Science Channel, I was watching about the deforestation in I don't know what it's called now, the what we used to call the East Indies. I guess Indonesia is what it's called now. The Sumatra and the various islands in the East Indies, in Indonesia, that are being totally deforested. And one of the things that they're growing in Indonesia, they are ripping down the rainforest in order to grow coffee beans.
Uh-huh, and that's how Christmas Island died.
Christmas because, Island?
Yes, it was once a forested and well-populated island. All the cultures on that island died with the last tree to be cut down.
Well... You would think, Jan, that somehow the human race could get some kind of sense in its head, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Jan, I got to leave it there. Thanks a lot for checking in, and drive safe. All right, we're getting real close to a break here, so I don't want to put anybody else on. When we come back, I think Ron will be next, and... Sanchez and Pete and Nick. No women tonight? We don't have any women callers tonight? We have an open line here. The number is 800-989-1480. I have noticed on some nights that the female callers who normally show up in abundance just bail out. Is it me? Is it the nights when I really start screaming my guts out that gets a little bit too weird? Is that it? Or is it the topic? Or is it because you all have decided to hell with this? The male of the species, the human species, has so screwed everything up. Why should we add our 2 cents? I don't know. I just wonder why some nights there just seems to be a dearth of female callers. Oh, well. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. Well, it's not really a quick break. We won't be back for about 8 minutes. But stick around anyway, because the final hour is coming up. We'd like to hear what you got to say on this topic. And I also want to bring up a little bit about, not much, because like I say, I for the most part, I don't care about George Mitchell, Senator Mitchell's report today, except for the fact that it just, is it not another symptom of something that has just gone so wrong here? Oh, well. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. Gordon in Oklahoma City sent me a quick email here regarding the statement by Archbishop of Sydney, Australia, who made the comment about, well, we've got reports that there is global warming on Mars, and that certainly isn't caused by, you know, coal-fired plants or whatever his nonsensical statement was. Gordon writes, Mike, here's an easily understood, at least for normal people, article from the National Geographic which should settle the issue concerning the warming conditions on Mars. According to the National Geographic, the cause is due to dust storms, which lead to the increased absorption of solar radiation on Mars. If anything can be read into this information, it's the fact that atmospheric conditions can lead to the warming, or for that matter, the cooling of a planet. I hate to admit that Jim Inhofe is our senator from Oklahoma, but he has a solution to global warming. Quote, change all the thermometers from Fahrenheit to Celsius, end quote. Okay, I made that part up. Gordon. Thanks, Gordon. All right, back to your phone calls here. Ron is calling from Ambler, PA, listening on the Internet. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Mike.
Lost in PA, Ron?
That's me.
Okay.
I just wanted to call because the Gore flap.
Yeah.
It's just astounding to me. I'm dumbfounded. I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, there's been a dearth of weather reports here in the Northeast about this storm coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And where I live, it's sprinkled. It was 60 degrees a couple days ago, in the high 50s. And I'm going, where's this weather? You know, everyone is getting all these bizarre reports. Like, oh, no, it's going to, a foot of snow tonight.
Well, I think it's happening in the Catskills. You don't live near the Catskills, do you?
No, that's up.
That's
probably
New York.
3 hours up from where I live. I'm closer to Philadelphia. But, yeah, it's a bizarre thing. But I just wanted to say one thing. Environmentally, I had a ray of hope out there in a company called Ballard Power Systems. Ballard Power Systems, it used to be in, I think they were in Washington State, but they moved up over the border into B.C. so they could produce what they produce without a lot of federal regulations on the part of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What they produce, and this is why I like them, they produce a working fuel cell for an automobile.
Right.
They've installed these fuel cell not prototypes. They're working automobiles. They've had them since 1999. They gave, I believe I read one report, they gave the city of Los Angeles a fleet of them in the late 90s. Daimler Chrysler, they have prototypes. Ford has prototypes. There are cars out there that could be put into production, but, you know, there's no impetus to do so.
Right.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's the thing, the driblets thing that the shrub talked about, you know, these cars produce water vapor
mm-hmm.
for an exhaust, okay? And they use, dry hydrogen chemical. If you look on the web, you'll find out that in Europe, Shell, Royal Dutch Shell, has hydrogen refueling stations in already. They always talk about we don't have the infrastructure. Yes, we just don't have the will, and we don't have the. Well, obviously, we don't have the direction. If the opinion on global warming coming from those guys in with the collar, comparing to what's happening on Mars, it's just ridiculous. But here's the thing. Ballard has elected to sell its fuel cell technology and its operation to Ford and Daimler.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I just watched a YouTube video on the site about it. The guy who's the CEO is saying he's doing it because they're going to concentrate on, because they do fuel cells for buses and stuff, and I guess they're making some headway into using stationary fuel cell technology for homes and stuff.
Right.
But it just astounds me. Here's this little upstart engineering firm in Ballard, Washington, which is a little town connected to Seattle, Washington. A bunch of hippy dippy guys put this thing together, and it gets into this multi-million-dollar business where they have these huge clients like Honda and what have you, and Toyota. It's there. There's an answer right there.
But apparently, it's not one that's going to be made available to the American consumer. And I don't understand why not. I mean, I can come up with a snotty answer to my own question, and the snotty answer would be because we are 300 million jackasses in this country, and we refuse to demand. What we demand is that the television is on at night, and there's something to make us laugh, and that Target is well stocked. But beyond that, we don't give a damn.
Until things start happening to us in our personal lives in a way that mean it really hurts, we're not going to wake up. I mean, we are anesthetized as a people. We are anesthetized. We have all these consumer goods and my wife used to have something on my refrigerator through our refrigerator here with a cat, snarling. Mm-hmm. It was like something. The average American sees 400 advertisements a day. Our minds have been
just turned into mush. Yeah, I hear.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up. The name of the company is Ballard,
Ballard Power Systems. Ballard Power Systems and Company.
Okay, I'm going to look that up. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Okay, man. Have a good night.
All right, you too. I appreciate you checking in. Ballard Power Systems. Writing it down. Thank you very much. Sanchez is calling from Montebello, California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Sanchez.
Artificially seasoned greetings to you, sir.
Yeah, back at you.
Oh, man. You know what? I was sitting here, and I'm wrapping up groovy little mixed CDs for all the groovy little girls and boys right now, and I heard the conversation going on about the environment. I think it was your caller, Robert, that called maybe about 45 minutes ago, half hour ago, something like that, and was asking why if the Earth... Now, I'm religiously neutral. I'm neither here nor there when it comes to this.
Okay.
But the question that he was asking was, well, if the planet Earth is God's creation, why aren't the Christian community backing it up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a DJ and I do all kinds of really cool clientele. My clients are progressive people, and through my little network, I managed to score a wedding reception for one of the people that works for the Evangelical Environmental Network. They're based in Washington, D.C., and man, did I have such an enjoyable conversation with this guy. I mean, politically and environmentally, I learned so much in the half hour that we had a chance to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me that, yes, they're reaching out and they're trying to change the minds. They're calling it creation care. It's just a matter of words. I really don't care. But the fact still remains that they are changing people's minds. Of course, it's like a David versus Goliath sort of thing, just like your other caller said about, mm-hmm. trying to change people's minds at this point. And, he says that they've got their work cut out for them, but they're trying. Do you remember this guy? His name was Reverend Jim Ball. He wrote a book, and it actually was a hit on Air America while you were on Air America a couple of years ago, and that stimulated a lot of conversation. So he's also a part of this network. So there are people out there that, you know, that are working towards it, you know?
Yeah, I have heard of the evangelical environmental movement. And certainly I think anyone is welcome into the circle of trying to make an effort to literally save the planet. God, that sounds like such a cliche, but that's because the right wing has turned it into a cliche and made fun of it. But if evangelicals, and I know some are, a very small number, because a lot of these people feel that there is nothing that should, that can be done or should be done because it's God's will.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no reason, you know, God has said, made it very clear that he's going to destroy the world. The second time is going to be with fire. The first time was with water.
Yeah.
The second time is going to be with fire.
Yeah.
So many of these freaks see global warming and the destruction of all life on this planet as being just a fulfillment of God's will.
Yeah,
so.
The gentleman was saying they're taking it too literally, like other passages in Leviticus.
Oh, sure, yeah. Of course they are. But in the meantime, the evangelical environmental movement is minute.
Yeah.
And like I say, we, you know, all of them are welcome to the table, but are welcome to the table.
Yeah.
But I would like to see, you know, all of them get involved. Hey, listen, I got to leave you there, Sanchez. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you checking in. Take care.
And Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
I just want to drop this into the mix here. The Mitchell Report, former Senator George Mitchell's 20-month investigation of steroid use, human growth hormone use in Major League Baseball. And the names of the people involved, allegedly, you know, we're supposed to say allegedly. And yet we can round up 500, 600, 700 people from Afghanistan and Syria and Ethiopia and God knows where and put them in solitary confinement and torture them for 4 years. That's allegedly too, right? Huh? But anyway, the report concludes that dozens of Major League Baseball players use steroids over the past several years. No point naming the names. You know who they are if you give a damn about baseball, which I don't. So I wouldn't know Miguel Tejeda from Movon and don't care. I just don't care. What I do care about is the fact that, you know, the great American pastime, the baseball, for Christ's sake, baseball, is now at this point a drug-addled money game for rich pigs to own a team, to buy into a team, stadiums built with the multi-million-dollar skyboxes so that you know, the really important people don't have to mix with the hoi polloi. I don't know how to say it. Mitchell said he found that for more than a decade, quote, there has been widespread illegal use of anabolic steroids and other performance-enhancing substances in violation of federal law and baseball policy. He also said, he added that Major League Baseball's response to the steroid crisis, quote, was slow to develop and initially ineffective. I know the name Roger Clemens, 7-time Cy Young Award winner. Roger Clemens. And it just goes on and on. And I remember when the right-wing crazies in this country seized on Bill Clinton's response when he was put in a perjury trap by a bunch of other right-wing half-wits and allegedly told a lie about whether or not he had sex with that woman or whoever it was. I don't even remember Paula Jones, whoever it was. And how the right-wing crazies just went berserk in this country, just out of their minds. The whole country stopped so they could impeach Bill Clinton. Remember all that? And on and one of the catchphrases was, "What are we going to tell the children?" Woo! Remember Henry Hyde and the rest of these ghouls, some of whom are now, thank you God, dead? Remember all of it? What are we going to tell the children? Oh my God, the president lied about oral sex. Oh! Remember? What are we going to tell the children about this? What are we going to tell the kids? I mean, who's left in terms of sports figures for kids to look up to? Who's left in politics? Who's left in popular music? Okay, they shouldn't be doing that. Any kid who looks at a sports figure as a hero is a kid whose parents have been absolutely derelict in their duty. I mean, what does a sports hero do? Hit a ball of some sort? Put it between uprights or knock it out of a park or kick it into a goal net? Oh, Jesus, God! Oh, I want to be like him! Ooh! Or drop it through a hoop? And these are the heroes. And so what's going to happen? How many? Who is the female sprinter who had everything stripped? She admitted her drug use. The first woman to win Florence Griffith Johnson, who won five medals. I don't think they were all gold. Her teammates are being stripped now. She's been banned from even attending Olympic. What's going to happen to these multi-millionaire, grossly overpaid, drug addicted, just like Rush Limbaugh? Only, of course, he just gets fat and slobbier because that's what he is, essentially. But these guys, supposed to be the creme de la creme, athletes, human growth hormone, anabolic steroids, lies, deception, cheating. What's going to happen to all the records? Well, are all the record books from the 90s and 2000 going to be full of asterisks now? My God. No stress, no strife, never hurry, never worry like the poor folks do. And oh, it must be fun to be so wealthy, filthy, rich and young. One might wonder what great things they've done to become the fortunate ones. They're the happy members of the lucky sperm.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-six before the hour. Hey, before I go back to your phone calls, remember the Miami 7? Huh? Do you remember the Miami 7? When was it? A year ago? The seven young black males from the Liberty City section of Miami who were busted and charged with all sorts of potential acts of terrorism. I think the big one was that they were going to blow up the Sears Tower. Remember that? Ooh! 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 Remember? Remember the play it got in the liberal news media? Remember? Remember? Oh, my God! We broke up an Al-Qaeda stuff. And remember the boys that got busted said, well, you know, they promised us some new boots, and we were really cool into getting the new boots. And remember that. Don't you remember the Miami 7? Well, our friend Daryl in Birmingham writes, Mike, buried behind the baseball hoopla and the woo, it's snowing stories, was the acquittal of one of the Miami 7 and the hung jury regarding the rest of them. I watched NBC and ABC tonight and saw nothing about the story. Contrast that with the way they made these guys the lead, complete with dramatic music and graphics when their arrests were announced. Never mind the fact that some of these guys didn't know how to find Chicago on a map. Oh, well, there's your liberal media at work. Daryl. Yeah, thanks, Daryl. No, I didn't see a thing either. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nothing. We live in hell, truth seekers. I'll grant you some theological breathing space here, okay? Apparently, this planet was hit by an asteroid sometime in the past 8 years, and all of us died at the same time and literally went to hell. We're all in whatever we consider to be hell. Huh? No? You don't buy that. Okay. The Miami 7. And I believe their defense attorneys, prior to the trial, said, you know, this is crazy. This is crazy. Seven guys hanging out, couldn't find their ass with both hands. Some FBI freak or CIA geek or Homeland Security nutball or somebody, you know, approaches them and says, hey, boys, come here a minute. You want to see some pretty guns? Look. Now look at these. These are called blasting caps. Watch what happens. Boom! Oh, see, isn't that fun? Hey, you boys want some new shoes? Boots, you do? We'll fit you out with some good uniforms with a Muslim symbol on the back. Huh? You want that? What do you got to do for it? I'll blow up the Sears Tower. How does that sound? Huh? You will? Oh, good. Jesus, God. But you do remember, don't you, Truth Seeker? The Sears Tower. How many times over a 48-hour news cycle did you see pictures of the Sears Tower? There it was! Lake Michigan, Sears Tower, Lakeshore Drive, Michigan Avenue. Holy Christ, they're here! They're here! They look like Negroes, but they're not! They're terrorists! Do you remember? Do you remember? If you don't, it's okay, because it all comes via television, and television is designed to make you forget. It's designed to make you crap in your pants at 5 o'clock news, and by the next 5 o'clock news, you forgot why you crapped in your pants last night, and you're ready to crap again about something new. Forget about it. You having trouble crapping in your pants? Here, try these pills. They're designed to stop crapping in your pants. Try them. Here. Now, back to the Situation Room. My God. The Miami 7, huh? Back to your phone calls. Mike is calling from New Jersey, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Man, enjoying your show there, Mike. You know, sometimes when I thought I was the only one that not knew everything but was aware of so much until I got my XM radio, I said, boy, I got help now, right?
Yeah, it's not the cavalry, because there ain't that many of us, Mike.
I know.
We're more like a platoon.
Hey, you're David going up against Goliath.
No, I'm not. I'm nobody. There's about 15 of us in radio. It's a platoon, and we need the cavalry. The cavalry. That's right. Don't missay it, Malloy. The cavalry. That's what we need. So mount up. Come and rescue my ass. Rescue America, Mike.
I'll tell you what, Mike. You know what I compare these people, like you say, Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, and
yeah.
and even these politicians that are selling us out, seeing what condition the environment is in.
Yeah.
I compare them. They're doing it for the money, of course. Okay? I compare them with the crack dealer that can stand on the corner watching what it has done to human beings, maybe his own mother.
There you go.
And he's still there for the money. Heroin dealer, crack dealer. I put them in the same category with these.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Thieves. That's perfect, Mike. That's what they are.
They all need to be together. They're in bed together, I tell you.
I hear you.
But, I done traveled quite a few states and programs like yours for the past, say, 7 years where people that speak on the same, way that you do on topics,
yeah.
these radio stations have been shut down, okay, and become either a rap station or a sports station, anything except for the, if it's anything sounding like liberal or left-wing, as they claim. Now, if it's right-wing, they're getting all the money, and they're still going strong.
That's true. That's true. Someday, Mike, someday there's going to be a massive reaction in this country. I swear there is, and this nonsense will stop. I got to move on. Thank you, Mike. Take care. Stay in touch, pal. BJ is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. BJ, welcome to the program. Yo, BJ. BJ, you're on the air. Talk to me. Okay, listen, thanks for checking in, pal. I'm sorry. You got to be a little sharper than that. What do we got? Another BJ? BJ in Lake
Hi,
Havasu.
Mike.
Hey, BJ.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right.
Oh, God,
finally we got a female caller tonight. Thank you.
I told you I was out here hanging in still.
I hear
and
you.
Yeah, we're in hell. I have my cyanide pill handy for like when the fire actually touches my feet, but oh my God. You're so funny tonight. It's just, you're cracking me up.
I'm funny?
You're really cracking me up. I need a good, endorphin rush, too, and the venting, but it's funny. Anyway, I have just this idea that since Gore was so far ahead of the curve on global warming, and Bush just, they all decided to ignore it. If they were on the same page as Gore, really, and were leaders about this issue, do you think all the right wing and Hannity and all those would be rah, 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 all for it? I mean, are they all just following anything that, he leads?
I don't know. I really do think that these networks that hire Hannity and Savage and the rest of them are like huge, my last caller said they're crack dealers. I would take it one step further. They're like huge, gaudy, nasty-looking pimps. And these guys, and there's a couple of women who work on these networks or put out this garbage, are nothing but street whores. No offense to sex workers. They're well paid. They're paid enormously. But they're given all of us venereal diseases, and AIDS. They're giving us diseases every time they get on the air. They're horrible, horrible, these right wingers. I wish there was some way to stop it, but
well, they're keeping us from curing disease too. Because my other thought was tonight, talking about the God thing, was the stem cell. If he didn't want us to do that, why did he give us the intelligence and the ability to discover these things? He's probably up there proud of it. Hey, look how far they've figured this much out, and now they're close to fixing some of this stuff.
Well,
and to
okay,
be
but
that is,
yeah, but acknowledging the existence of that kind of God is like acknowledging the existence of some kind of a intergalactic freak.
I know, but that's what I'm thinking. Their line of thinking.
Yeah, well,
God doesn't want us to destroy life, so we can't have this. It's really all for the profit to the other company. It's not about the government. He doesn't want the government to do it. He probably wants it done, but by the moneyed interests. They're going to profit from it.
I hear you. BJ, I got to leave it there. Thanks a lot. Thanks for checking in tonight. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Any longer.
Before the hour, thanks to our thanks to our little Fantasy Island crew of resistors. I don't know what else to call us. Ian Huff, our engineer, Billy Foster, our technical director, Kristen Minnesota is our senior correspondent, Catherine Day, the executive producer of this program. Have I mentioned yet that we want to welcome Columbus, Ohio, WVKO 1580? I think I have met. Welcome to Columbus, Ohio's liberal, WVKO. Thanks for carrying this program, if they still are. You never know. So many times we'll get a new affiliate, and you know, until they hear this program, they're real happy. Like, hey, Nova M, all right, who's this coming on tonight? Mike Malloy, who's he? Oh, well, we'll listen. Oh, my God! Sorry. Philip is calling from St. Louis, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that, yes, the reason we have this group of performing monkeys that's elevated as heroes and paid millions of dollars is because they provide a very valuable service to the military-industrial complex. They keep us distracted and entertained while our children are propagandized, our treasury is looted, and our Constitution is raped.
Well, has it always been that way? I can remember going to Detroit Tigers baseball games, or if I was really lucky, Cleveland Indians baseball games when I was a kid. I can remember bicycling around my neighborhood on a Saturday afternoon, and everybody was out on their front porch with the radio blasting, listening to. Was it so bad then? I always thought it was kind of good.
Yeah, but I think the amount of pay that is received and things like that, and the amount of money that the entertainment industry makes as a whole is sort of off the scale. It used to be.
Well, you're absolutely right, Philip. I just sometimes I get trapped in my own memory, because I can remember when being a baseball player meant that you were dignified. Maybe you chewed tobacco. Maybe you drank beer. Maybe you had a wad of bubble gum in your jaw. I don't know. Maybe you did all kinds of nasty stuff in the off season. But as far as us kids were concerned, or we kids were concerned, baseball players, I mean, there weren't any bigger heroes in the sports world than baseball players. Look what we've got now. Everybody's gravitating towards football. I heard something today when they were reporting this story that Major League Baseball is losing audience, professional football is gaining it. And think about the difference between the two games. If nothing else, the violence that is football. It's just bloody kill 'em. And baseball is a game of inches. Football is a game of behemoth monsters. I don't know, Philip. What do you think? What do you think? Huh? Did we lose Philip? All right. We lost Philip. But I get your point, Philip. I understand. Yeah, professional football. That's where it's at now. You know, kill. And when you score a touchdown, point up to heaven, to Jesus. And, you know, like, oh, yeah, hey, God's out there today making sure I made that touchdown. How about that? Huh? Where's my bonus check? Son of a bitch, how about me? But baseball, you know, it's like, who was it that said today about back when Mark McGwire was on Keith Olbermann's program, when Mark McGwire was hitting his record-breaking home runs that lasted for, what, two seasons or three? When Mark McGwire was doing that, you know, and here's this huge white man who looked like a Caucasian version of the abominable snowman coming out of the Himalayas. The baseball bat looked like a pencil. You know, here's this guy, just gigantus monstrous, you know, chunking around the bases, thud, 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 thud. You know, home run after home run. A crappy player, couldn't play worth a damn. Neither can Barry Bonds. These are not clutch hitters. These are not team players. These are guys that stand up at the plate. Give me the goddamn ball. Bam! Thud, 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 thud. Man! Let's see, have we got time for one? Let's get Scott on here real quick, listening on KGOE. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. What's up? Talk to me, quick. We got less than a minute.
I was just kind of wondering if you heard about this guy, Harry Taylor.
Yeah, we were talking about his website last night, trying to drum up some business. Harry Taylor for Congress dot what, dot org?
Now, who am I talking to now?
You're talking to Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy, okay. Yeah. I get you guys in a remote area up here, and I was just, you know, after I started listening to your program and everything, I totally turned off my TV, dude.
Yeah.
And I called all these places to let them know I was really unhappy with the president and everything. And
don't do too much of that. They'll come out looking for you with a huge steel mesh net and a tear gas and taser weapons.
Well, if they can find me, good luck, buddy.
Yeah, this is the Malloy program. Yeah, we talked about this last night. Our good friend Daryl sent me the information. HarryTaylorForCongress.com.
Right.
The guy who stood up and asked Bush if he had the decency to be ashamed of himself. Yeah,
I'm surprised they haven't tried to pull you guys off the air yet.
I have been pulled off the air.
You have?
Well, many times, yeah. I mean, not currently. We're adding stations now because I think people are starting to come off out of the ether.
Well, I've just basically, these people, a couple of older ladies that I work for, I mentioned to them, have you ever listened to this radio station? And I was surprised. One of them said, oh, yeah, that Mike Malloy. Yeah,
well,
that's a good program.
Well, keep talking it up. Scott, I got to leave it there.
Okay, well, I just want to tell you there's a lot of people out here who support you. I like what you have to say. You say it like it is. You know, it's too bad people like you couldn't get in there. It's like that Taylor said. Doesn't he have enough decency?
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks a lot, Scott. I appreciate it. Take care, pal. We'll see you tomorrow night, folks. Thanks for hanging out tonight. I appreciate it. All right, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.